The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Now, I've been looking forward to doing this hour since finding out about what we were going to be chatting about, and it's all to do with mental health. We have Dame Shirley in, who has some personal stuff that she wants to talk about, hopefully between now and 1 o'clock. Don't feel pressured into doing it. We've also got Chris Sullivan in as well, and on the phone we have John Rushton. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Ian.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm okay as well, thanks, yeah.
Excellent.
I want to start by saying, because I know you wanted to talk about mental health, and that covers so many different things, but are we right to still keep calling it mental health?
To be honest, I'm not quite sure, because our mental health is a bit like our physical health. We can have anything from a bruise or a rash or a spot or something or a cut or whatever it is, or a sprained knee or ankle, to something, you know, quite severe, like a sort of a heart transplant or something like that. So there's a cross spectrum. We talk about our physical health as if it's quite normal, you know, whether it is just that proverbial rash, we put some cream on and it all goes, or we have something more serious. But when it comes to mental health, there's automatic that stigma that, oh, mental health. Well, every person on the planet has a degree of mental health. And it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means the state of our mind at any particular moment in time. It's how we think, how we feel. And how we think and how we feel is actually us. It's nobody else, and nobody else can take over. Nobody else can intervene. It's in our mind. It comes from where we are. It comes from where we live. And that little home in our mind, in our brain, is where we will be until the day we die. So it's very important that we actually think coherently. We are relatively stress-free. We do understand what's happening. And it's a lot of life when it goes wrong. It's because of lack of understanding. And therefore, the fog comes down and we feel somewhat out of it and not knowing what to do, where to go, how to do it, why, whom, and all these kind of things. And it puts us one degree under. But if that suddenly clears, we feel, oh, that's all right now. Oh, I feel a lot better. And that can happen in an instant.
So what about calling it mind health instead of mental health? Like, say, I feel uncomfortable. Just say, for instance, if... because you mentioned stigma there, and it must put some people off. Just say, for instance, if they're suffering from stress. Okay, so they're suffering from stress. They may be off work. They may be, you know, all of a sudden they have to go and see somebody at mental health. And it's like, would that put them off? Would that then, you know, put them off seeking the right medical attention?
It often does. I mean, if you went to the doctor and said, I'm suffering from stress, and he said, oh, I'll refer you to a mental health clinic. Hello? I'm not mental. I'm not. I'm all right. I'm just suffering from stress. And it's because it's all put into one, and it has the stigma, and that it shouldn't have, because we all need to keep our sort of minds buoyant and bubbly at all times. Then we can make coherent decisions as to what to do and feel the best we can in any situation given.
Now look, we've got Chris in the studio, and we've also got Dame Shirley in as well. But Chris has said something off air that's quite interesting. Now, I don't know whether you want to talk about what you just talked about while we were off air, because you said you went somewhere and you were diagnosed with, and you were quite surprised. We were quite surprised when you said, is that okay to talk about or not?
Yeah, well, that's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you tell the story then.
Well, I had to go and see a counsellor with my wife, and... And he noticed that I was fidgeting, and he said, do you know, I really think you may have an undiagnosed ADHD. And I filled in a questionnaire, and it became quite apparent that I probably did have it, and it had gone undiagnosed for donkey's years. And when I was at school, I constantly was in trouble for not concentrating and mucking about and generally being a pain. And it was just interesting to know so that, you know, there must be hundreds of people out there who've never been diagnosed with this condition. And I still fidget, and I still... I'm still swinging in this chair, so
I'm guessing.
I'm swinging in my chair whilst we're talking as well.
You must hear this a lot, though, John, wouldn't you?
I do, and I think I'm one of the world's worst fidgeters as well, to be quite honest. I'm always tapping my fingers or my foot dithering or something. I never keep still. Even when I was young, I always say, stop it! Because if I was on the settee, everybody would be rocking, toing and froing. And they'd think, oh, what is it? And it's me at the end of it.
So is it, I think you said this earlier on, it's fair to say that most of us, if not all of us, have something going on upstairs in the mind.
I think we do. I mean, it's called life. You know, yeah. We all go through peaks and troughs. We all go through bits where everything seems to be going well. And then all of a sudden, it's our health or our finances or our job or something, you know, or we have to have a new roof on the house because the gale blew it off and it's half destroyed, and all kinds of things. And they're a big whammy to our mind, you know. Some people are fortunate, they can weather the storm. Other people are not so fortunate. But, you know, we're all different. We all react in different ways. And there's no right or wrong. And so it is important that we understand that a lot of the stuff we go through is actually okay. It's actually quite normal. We're not weird. We're not stupid. We're not going off the edge of the precipice. We're not sort of falling into oblivion. This is actually okay. And it's just then learning to deal with it. Because once you learn to deal with something or you understand it, you can cope far better because there isn't that sort of negativity associated with it. Oh, right, that's it, I know I'm going to do this, that. And you can make allowances for yourself, and then you actually tend to enjoy life a lot better.
I'll tell you what, though, I mean, I hear what you're saying and completely agree, but it must be really hard to do those kind of things that you've just said there when it says on the tin, mental. You know, that's the issue that I have. It's like, hang on a minute, you're not. So what, I mean, we should start a campaign now maybe to get this changed and call it mind health. Because well, that, to me, fits.
I do agree with you to a large extent there, in fact, Ian, because it is this stigma. The moment you mention the word mental, people associate that you are. And it's far from it, you know. But otherwise, all the population would be sort of locked up. It's not that case. It is a stigma. So we have, you know, you see all these body health, body fitness classes. Fine, everybody's fine, whether you're slim or large or what, it doesn't matter. Fine, but it comes to, you know, mind health. Ooh, maybe I'll just give it a miss. Maybe I just won't go. It sounds good, but maybe if I could actually get a DVD or download it and view it at home on my own with nobody around me, I might look at it then. And that's what it's all about.
What's the most common thing you come across at the moment?
I think it's just people coping with life. Literally, we see so much atrocity on the television, and of course the media, by and large, they glorify it. They it's no longer news anymore. It's a story they've glorified. They've tarted it up and boosted it up and brightened it up and put sound to it, and they've made a mini feature film in a matter of seconds of something which was just quite simple. And so we're getting subliminally, we're taking all this in. Every headline in the newspaper, disaster strikes, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and it's nothing of the sort. And it just goes on, and we get bombarded, and subliminally we start to pick it up. And then we're okay until something then happens in our own little spectrum. And then it all piles on. Oh, not only this, but the news, and we get more sensitive then to negativity. And once we become more sensitized to negativity, we absorb it quicker, and we find that there's possibly, in our own little mind, in our own little way, in our own little pigeonhole in life, there isn't much of an exit. How do we get out of this? Where do we go? What do we do? And again, then it's down to, oh, I don't want to be associated with mental health, you know, but I need something. Maybe I'll have a drink. Maybe I'll have some tablets from the chemist. Maybe. And then this uncertainty looms large. And once the uncertainty looms large, we tend to lose it because we then cocoon ourselves in our own little world, not wanting to relate to other people, our communication skills go down, we lose our sense of humour, we lose our ability to see the positive things of life because we're concentrating on the negative things, so all the good things just whiz by us and go to somebody else, and then we've actually got ourselves into a rut. And we shouldn't have to get that far because, you know, there's so much that can be done to let us through, sort of alleviate that and elevate us up from that situation.
But I think it needs somebody to tell you that you've... I do suffer with clinical depression.
Yes.
And the first time I had it, I didn't realise what was the matter with me. I didn't know it was depression.
Yes.
You know, that's how bad it got. I mean, not really heard about depression much. That was about, 15 years ago.
Yes.
And that just came out of the blue. And ever since that, I have to take medication for it. And if I leave my medication off, I know I'm going down and down, so I go back on it again.
Yes.
Are you now in a position where you can, like, you realise that there's a bit of an issue, you're going down that spiral?
I know when I'm going down, definitely. Right. Yes, so I go back on the medication again. But it's like, I mean, it's an illness. I mean, it's like if you've got a broken leg, people can see it.
Yeah.
But if it's something in your brain, like, nobody knows, doesn't understand it half the time. So that's clinical depression, and I think people do suffer with it.
Yes, I think one of the things you said, which was spot on, you need someone to say it to you.
Yeah, it was my mum, actually, that told me, because yes. I was crying and crying and crying, and she said, go to the doctors. And that was it. I went to see a counsellor first, and you know, and I'm fine now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you still on your medication?
It's like if you put on a little bit of weight, and your best friend says, oh, you've put on a bit of weight.
Mm.
And, oh, right, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
It's just that little thing, that little trigger. And then you do it because it sort of contacts with you and you register straight away and think, yes, that's it.
And as soon as I was on the medication, started to feel well, oh, I'm such a different person.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable. And also, I've got a grandchild that's... he won't mind me talking about it because he's actually said he'll come and talk on air about his problems. Mm. He has bipolar.
Yes.
And it took a long time for them to get his medication right. And he had lots and lots of problems. But now he's got a smashing job. As long as he takes his medication, he's fine.
Brilliant.
It's just getting that medication right. But he has to go to what we call is the mental hospital on the island. Mm. You see, we call it the mental hospital, don't we, Ian? Which is 7 acres. But what he used to do, the man that was looking after him, he used to meet him along the front on a seat, on a bench, so nobody would know that he was going into that hospital because he was ashamed of going there. But now he would talk about it. He doesn't mind at all now.
That's why I say maybe you're in a good position to do this, John, and maybe you ought to start as well, because I think that what it says on the tin is not good enough, because and it certainly isn't helpful, because if you are one of those people that, you know, there's poor people that have to on a regular basis go and visit somebody or so on, and all of a sudden you see that word, I would imagine there must be an element of you're going to start believing it, even though you may only have depression or something else. And I say only, I don't you know, I'm not putting that down at all, but if you have depression, you're not mental, so why does it say on the label that I am? You know, that's the problem, and I think that's the issue. And I think if, just say for instance, I'm not saying there's a cure, but it might go to some way to help people get the treatment and the help that they need without the stigma being attached. I mean, that's a massive must to improve things.
Well, my grandchild was ashamed of going up there. He went up there once and he said, I'm not going in that place again. And that's when they started to meet him outside.
Mm.
But now he's fine with it. He's, you know, he could talk about it and he's well.
Good. Mm. That's great to hear. I mean, you hear so many people with issues and problems and so on. You want to say something, Chris?
Well, I'm currently signed off from work with stress, which I'm not prepared to discuss the issues, but... I've tried to deal with it in a homeopathic way, where I've had acupuncture to get rid of the anger, and it's worked. And also, I've been told to do other things and keep myself occupied and not get locked away from the public. And one of the reasons I've come here is because I'm sort of retracing steps from a previous life, which which has done me the world of good this morning. I mean, it's you know, I've been welcomed with open arms, but to lock yourself away is yeah. And I've had to go up to the NHS place for mental health, and it says on the form mental health. Mm, now, mm. I don't believe I'm mentally ill, but the stress has made me so angry with myself that I've had to deal with it, and I've had to go to the place, and it is the stigma of mental health, you know.
Has this helped then this morning?
Oh, absolutely. This is, you know, I did this a long, long time ago, as you know, and I was told not to lock myself away from the world, and I've come in here today to do almost to retrace an earlier life, which has done me absolutely the world of good.
I mean, just so you know, John, we at Vectis Radio, we've got a training school within the radio station, and it trains youngsters. They come in, and it gives them confidence and communication skills. And it also, I believe, it also does quite a remarkable thing for not just youngsters, but people of a certain age. It boosts their confidence. It boosts their life. You know, we have a lot of fun on the radio, and I think half the time, if you can have a bit of fun, you can. It's not too serious. That is much better than staying at home and watching TV,
absolutely
mind-numbing TV, and keeping yourself to yourself like you've been doing. Getting out and communicating, it does give you a bit of a buzz. It really does. And I've seen this in so many different people. Yeah, I mean, Shirley's been with us now for about 4 or 5 years doing a show, and you can see the difference, and it's a lovely thing to be able to see. And I think we're all in the same boat. And I said earlier on we all have levels of you know, issues in our own mind. You said, you made the point at the beginning, this is ours, this is our own mind, we've got this until the day we die.
That's right.
And there's a lot that goes on in these little minds, isn't there? So every now and again, it's just like a computer, it needs a reboot. And you know, I look at it and I think that's us, isn't it? None of us will go through life feeling absolutely 100% every single day in the mind and know exactly where we are. There will be days when we stutter, we stumble, and sometimes we fall. I mean, it's out there. I would imagine that most people that are listening to this, if they haven't suffered some kind of depression, then they probably hadn't known that they were suffering from depression when they did. Because I would imagine that most people do go through it, and it's not. It doesn't say, oh, you've got to be over 20 to do it. You know, I'd imagine there's a lot of youngsters out there that are going through similar things, similar depression, similar problems. And, you know, I can't bang on about this enough. I think if we remove the label from the tin and market something else, mind health, I think that would open the doors for so many people to go and get the help that they need.
It would. They go to the doctor. And instead of the doctor saying you've got to go to the mental health place, if they called it something else, you're right there, Ian. Mindfulness or something, you know? Yeah.
What do you think, John?
Totally and utterly. I think it is a stigma, and people just don't want to think, oh, you know, go to the doctor. And when they get there, they sometimes chicken out.
Yes.
Or they make it lighter than it actually is.
Yes.
And it's not them actually lying to the doctor. It's just that they can't bring themselves, because they don't feel like there's a mental issue. There's just a slight problem. It's like going with a rash when you've got something really hurting in your stomach, and you say, well, I've got this little rash on the of my hand. You know, they daren't get there. And quite often, like Shirley said, you know, people can get cured. They can have medication. They can live a perfectly normal life, and that may be it permanently. They may be just have a fabulous life thereafter. It's this uncertainty and living with uncertainty, and then locking yourself away, and then of course you cocoon yourself, and you lose your communicative skills. You lose your skills to actually get in touch with people. You lose your conversation. You lose your ability to laugh, and if you can laugh and make light of things, then you're actually on your way getting out of it as well, because it elevates everything in your body. It makes life lighter. People laugh with you. People understand you. You understand them. You're not fighting all the time. You haven't a conflict in your mind, which is what a lot of people have. They fight in their mind. They don't fight anywhere else. Nobody knows about the fight. Nobody can see the fight. Nobody can be a recipient of the fight. All they can be a recipient of is you not smiling back to them. And that can change. It can change in an instant.
Definitely.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question, John?
Yes.
How old are you?
I am 64.
So you would have seen some massive changes. Chris is saying same age as me. So you're the same age as Chris. Now, you would have seen some massive changes. How much of a difference has social media, has it got in the way? Has it made it worse or has it made it better?
It's made it worse. It's made it worse. I saw something yesterday. This is just very topical. It was about, it was just literally 15 minutes. I was having a cup of tea and I was on my way out and I was just sort of killing that 15 minutes. And there was something on the news. It was about David Cameron and his tax and all this business. And there was some expert talking about it, whatever they were saying. I wasn't taking too much notice. But one of the commentators said, well, he goes on holiday, he goes on budget flights, he goes on this, but that's probably just his PR image, just this, it's just him doing this, just him doing that. And the other chap said, be careful what you're saying, because if he'd gone on a private plane and it cost him thousands, you'd have said the opposite. Oh, it's all right for him, he's got the money, he can do this. So it's a lose-lose-lose situation the media come out with. They want to get at you one way or the other. And a lot of people in life find that that's where they are. They're being got at and not people being genuinely sort of uplifting. It's just this perpetual negativity which is being thrown out by the media because that's what they do.
I tell you, I think most of what you just said there, I totally agree. There's a couple of things. I mean, I wanted to speak about David Cameron this morning and about this tax thing, but obviously that's for another day. But you know, when you see that negativity, and it's interesting now when you see all the negativity in the news. Let's be honest, it's news. Most of it's negative anyway. But when you see that negativity in Facebook and social media, people having a go at each other, people putting negative stuff on, does it make you feel better having a bit of a moan and a whinge on Facebook? Does it make you feel better watching the television, having a bit of a moan, because we all shout at the television, don't we? Does that make us feel better when we're moaning about? Does it feel like, do you feel like you're letting off steam? Does that help?
It can do, but I think you've got to look at it two ways. If you're having a moan at the TV and the TV happens to agree with your point of view, you feel, wow, this is good. I'm yes, brilliant. But if you're the only one and everybody else is thinking something else, you don't feel like that at all. You think, oh, what are these people thinking of? What are they doing? Wake up. Can't you see it's wrong? And so you're now getting yourself into a negative situation. And it's all right going onto Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or goodness knows what blogger, putting your five penny worth down and saying things, which is fine. You've got it off your chest, and it's good to get it off your chest. It's better than bottling it up. But if you carry on doing these things about the same subject, you're now making a feature of it. You're now giving it gravitas. And now, apart from just a comment, it's actually being ingrained in your mind, because you've ingrained it. You're giving it arms and legs. And now you're getting stressed out because you have actually given it some embodiment. Where before it was a comment. It may have been a completely viable comment, 100% correct, but it was a comment. But now you're really going for it. And the only one who is going to suffer from that is you, nobody else.
So you could be growing your own little monster.
Yes, you do. That's it, exactly. You grow your own little monster and then you start talking to it.
Hmm. I'll tell you what, it's a fascinating thing, the old mind, isn't it? It really is. When you start unlocking it, what sort of stuff do you do when you feel yourself, because we all do it, we all go down that slippery slope of feeling a bit down, feeling a bit sort of depressed, I guess. What do you do to lift yourself out? Go on, Shirley's put her hand up. She wants to answer this question.
I've got a tape. I've got an old-fashioned Walkman. Is that what you call them?
A Walkman.
Yeah. One of those that I still use, and I've got a tape, and if I feel a bit low and everything, I'll listen to this tape and it's fantastic.
Is it what sort of tape? Is music?
It's music and somebody talking to you how to relax, you know, starting at one end of your body and completely relaxing, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so
it does help.
So you reach for that. How often do you reach for that?
Not a lot. I used to, but I think coming on the radio has changed my life completely.
Good.
It's made me more confident and everything.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. But I used to use it an awful lot.
See,
yeah.
See, the sad thing is that I mentioned earlier on to the crew from the Isle of Wight Donkey Sanctuary. They have youngsters come to the donkey sanctuary. They spend time with the donkeys, the horses, and so on and so forth.
That's good.
And it makes them feel better. It makes them interact, and they go away and everyone's happy. And they called it donkey therapy.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to call this radiotherapy.
Yes.
But again, it's the label on the tin, and I say, look, why can't I call it radiotherapy? You know what it is, but it's okay to put mental on the tin of mental health.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's contradictory.
What a lot of people do as well that are sort of having these problems, they've got these colouring books coming out for adults that you colour them in.
Yeah.
Have you seen them on the television?
Yeah.
And they are fantastic. If you're feeling low, pick up one of those and your mind just goes blank. And this is what they say can really help people.
Okay. What do you do, Chris? There must be an album that you pick up and think, I'm going to listen to that and make me feel happy.
I play my guitar.
Ah.
And that's very good therapy.
Mm.
I do feel the gift of communication that we are blessed with has been corrupted. I don't do Facebook or any of the other social stuff at all. I have email, obviously, but I like listening to the radio, strangely enough.
Right.
And I've always been into radio, so I will listen to it, and it does calm me down. I like to hear things on the radio.
Okay, excellent.
But certainly, I mean, has it got whale noises on it?
No, it hasn't, but I don't know what you mean. The music is beautiful. It's lovely.
Yeah, but I do play my guitar. I mean, I play it to myself. I play in a band, but... But if I'm feeling a bit down, I'll pick the guitar up and play.
Okay, brilliant. What about you, John? What do you do?
I don't really do a lot because I'm always out and about. And I think, and I do like doing what I do. So that to me is therapy in itself. I feel sort of quite content at the end of it when you've seen people or you've given a lecture or something of that nature, or you're just doing the radio with you. It's cathartic in its own right, sharing what you do with other people and listening to what other people. And I think it's just basically, whatever it is for you, just find that thing and do it. Just find it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, switch off.
Yeah.
Don't get embroiled in somebody else's mess, somebody else's business, somebody else's mayhem, somebody else's negativity. Switch off.
That's very hard to do sometimes.
It is. It's very difficult. But the more you actually align yourself with Facebook and Twitter, if you are that person to absorb it, you can actually get literally carried away and be on there for hours and hours, like some young people do.
Mm.
They don't talk anymore.
They
just
do.
Text
That's
each
right.
other.
Yeah.
Well, I listen to lots of upbeat music whenever I'm feeling a bit down, and if it's the right time of year, sitting in the sunshine, listening to either an audio book or some music, that always seems to work if you're ever going down that slippery slope of feeling a little bit down, a little bit depressed. But it's about, as you get older, you find those things, don't you? You do find those things that work for you, and it's really important that you do. Otherwise, it ends up as, you know, it could be far worse than obviously just being able to listen to a bit of music or watch a bit of TV or going for a walk. But I've noticed, John, that I've been walking a lot since last September and I've lost a lot of weight, about 2 stone. I'm working on losing another 0.5 stone and then calling that it. But I do feel a lot happier in my mind because people used to do that thing that you mentioned earlier on. They used to rub my belly.
Yeah.
And like, all right, Macca, cool, you put on a few pounds, didn't you?
Yeah.
Or some people, I remember going into a supermarket last September, I was 15 stone, I'm now 13 stone 2.
Wow.
And this lady, she actually said to me, I hadn't lost any weight, but she said to me, have you lost weight? And she rubbed my belly. And I just thought, you obviously didn't give that a massive amount of thought. I did after that. That kind of, you know, it festered a little bit. And you think, maybe if we were a little bit more conscious of what we say and how we say it to people, we wouldn't be giving ourselves so many problems.
Do you think, Ian, if you rub my belly, I might lose some weight?
Well, see, you could rub mine as well.
This is
I'll
into
keep
a,
it out of this.
If only it was that easy.
Well, you expected a little genie to pop out. It's a fascinating thing where, I mean, obviously there was that tragic time with Karen Carpenter when somebody mentioned, yes, it was only, what, just one flippant comment.
Yes.
And all of a sudden she's sadly, you know, she's gone. And you just think we've got to be a bit more careful, because I think we all a bit, well, I think every single one of us have vulnerabilities in us. I think every single one of us, even those people that look, were, you know, strong-willed, and they come across as really strong underneath it all, they might have some weaknesses, and we should just be a bit more careful of what we say and how we say it.
Ian, excuse me, I mentor quite a few people, and some of these people are fairly sort of high flyers in business, and they are quite tough, they are quite resilient, they will make sort of major decisions and goodness knows what, which most people don't actually get into that sort of realm of life, but that's them anyway, that's what they do. And I've had them cry in front of me, and it shocked them. And it's not because they're weak or anything else, it's because what they have actually been enduring in their personal life has gone on too long, and they just want it to stop.
Just want to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just want it to stop. And these people are, they make millions of pounds and they do goodness knows what, and the yachts and cars, and, but they just break down, and enough is enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look, we're gonna bring in Shania in a moment. All right, we might have to take a break in a mo, but there's lots of things we've still got to talk about. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, are you going to take this any further? You know, maybe making a campaign to say, hey, look, let's lose the label. Let's put a label on it that if we have to put a label on it that doesn't say mental, because to me that is crazy. Are you going to start a campaign, John? Can we twist your arm to doing that?
Let me just put some feelers out, because I you know, it's interesting what you say, and there are a lot of people who totally agree with that stance, that it's the stigma which is the biggest problem for them to do anything at all.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel about, I mean, maybe, you know, going into a commercial break, this is probably not the right time to do it. Maybe we should come out after it and talk about the cutbacks. How has that actually affected so many people, you know, of a variety of ages?
I read about that, and I see it again on TV and things. I don't know personally, because I'm not into that end of the spectrum or into the hospital system, so I don't know what. But I do know why a lot of people don't go to the doctor, and I know why a lot of people contact me or come to some of the talks I do or things, because they want to try and see aspects of their life that they can deal with without getting into that stigma again. So coming to me, we're not talking about mental health or anything like that at all. We're talking about them. Mm. And like these sort of people I mentor, they wouldn't want to go to sort of have mental health and be in charge of multi-million pound organizations. But by coming to me and having a good cry and going back, still the same people but feeling a million times better, is all that they need.
If I could just come in there. Yeah. When the doctor diagnosed I had depression, I then went back to work, and I worked in a school, and I mentioned it to quite a few other people that were working in the school, and they said, oh, I've had that, I've been up there, and
that's it.
Because nobody would talk about it.
That's it, and the moment one person mentions it, all of a sudden you see eyes light up.
That's right.
Oh, yes, I've had that. Is that what they call it?
And they were so pleased.
I thought it was me.
Yes, that they wanted
They're
to talk
alone
about
anymore.
It. No,
yeah,
that's
exactly,
right.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, you think you're alone. Yeah.
Yes, but you're not. You're actually probably sitting next to people who are going through exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but they feel ashamed to talk about it, and I don't think we should do.
No, we shouldn't.
You know?
No, that's quite right. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break in a mo, and then we're going to come back. Are you going to hang on the phone there?
Yes, I will.
Okay, that'd be great. Just where are you? Where are you calling from? So we get a rough idea. Obviously, we're broadcasting on the Isle of Wight, and you are in where?
I'm in West London.
In West London at the moment.
Ooh, lovely.
Mm.
Lovely. We're envious of you living in West London. Have you ever visited the Isle of Wight?
I've been to the Isle of Wight a few times. Yes.
Oh, maybe you should, you know, work out a little trip down there and come in and do one of these live in the studio.
Definitely.
But,
that would be really nice, to be honest. I'd
would.
Like that.
Okay, look, let's take a break and we'll come back and speak more in just a couple of moments.
Okay.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Here at Vectis Radio, we're all about giving opportunities and breaking new ground. That's why we've teamed up with the island's leading theatre company, Origins, to bring to you the Student Radio Play Challenge. We're giving all island students the opportunity to write their very own original story for radio. If you win, you'll hear your radio play broadcast on Vectis Radio. Two runners-up will also have their work made into podcasts. Entries can be from individuals or teams of up to six from the same school or college. We're looking for entries in two categories, under 16s and 16 to 18. For further details, go to vectisradio.com and originstheatre.uk. So what are you waiting for? Get writing. We can't wait to read your entries. Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. Book now and you'll enjoy a one-hour train ride taking you through the island's unspoiled countryside and woodland. Our new Train Story Discovery Centre at Haven Street provides an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. And a range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages, telling a fascinating story of railways on the island. Also new for 2016 is the informative and engaging Bird of Prey Centre. For full details, call 01983 882 204 or visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
It's James and Judy here, the island's version of Richard and Judy. We've been married for longer than Judy cares to mention, haven't we?
That's true, James.
And together we run Ramshackle Pop-Up Cinema from our Global Nerve Centre in Bembridge. We're bringing lots of bickering, wittering...
That's me.
...and twittering...
That's James, the technical one.
...to Vectis Radio every Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 4. And that's our show, Ramshackle Mashup. It's a heady mix of music, previews and reviews of things going on the island, including arts, and breaking news about local eateries, cycling and special places.
And film.
And get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Here we are then. Welcome back. Part two. We've got Dame Shirley in. We've also got Chris Sullivan in. And we've got John... I've just cut him off.
Oh, no,
I've just pushed
Ian.
The button and I've cut him off. Oh, crikey. Anyway, look, let me tell you this, okay? Yeah. Hopefully John will phone back. What a donut, eh? I feel really bad now.
Shall I rub your belly?
Yeah, okay, rub my belly and I'll rub yours and get a belly rub going. I was watching an interview that on the Graham Norton show, and it was a really, really good interview. There was four people to begin with, and you had I forget who the other people. Ricky Gervais was there.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor was there. Dame Helen Mirren was there, and I think it was an Australian chap actually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they had this 25 minutes of doing the interview, and then they brought out Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And my wife said, he looks really awkward. He looks really, really, you know, very awkward. He can't look at Graham Norton in the eye, and he looks very uncomfortable sat on that sofa. And I said, well, wouldn't you? And she said, why? What do you mean by that? Well, they've already been established doing their interview, doing their television program for 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like to walk into, you know, somewhere
yeah,
where...
Into a room where they're talking,
and
yeah.
it's already established. Mm, the whole thing's already established.
Mm.
And I've just, you know, we were going to get Shania in, and I think she felt a little bit comfortable about coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she did or not. She just said she didn't mind. But
yeah.
then I thought to myself, hang on a minute, how might she feel... She's walking into a studio where three people have been
yeah.
for most of the morning
yeah.
and they've got someone on the phone, and hopefully John will phone back and hopefully, fingers crossed. I didn't mean to do that. I just pushed the button thinking it was answering the phone, because that's what we normally do here during the lunchtime social debate. So hopefully he'll get on. But it's that thing where we realise that our mind says, well, you're walking into an area where they're already established. And it feels a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you can kind of... But she said, you know what? I never really thought of that.
No, I didn't.
But I do now.
Yeah.
I do now.
Yeah.
And it's... How many times have you walked into a room and it kind of goes quiet? Or it's not that people, you know, were talking about you, but you suddenly feel
like
for
that.
Some reason that they were talking about you.
You feel like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, that is, you know, it's the mind playing tricks on
especially
you.
Especially if it goes
of,
quiet
a lot
when
of
you
ways.
Walk in. Yeah.
It goes quiet in our house whenever I walk into a room. I'm hoping that...
People always say to me, we was just talking about you. And I always go, I do hope it was all bad.
again, that's an interesting thing. Why do we do that? It's to push away any kind of, I don't know, feeling awkwardness.
The British as a nation are very self-deprecating, aren't they?
Yes.
And
they
I think John's ringing back. He's flashing.
Now, let's put it to the test.
Because you act on impulse, wasn't you? Because he was from West London.
Let's put it to the test. Now, John, I'm hoping that's you. Hi,
no,
John.
No, it's only my middle name.
Ah, it's Arthur.
It's Arthur.
No, I'm not. I'm Mr. X. I'm very worried.
So, do you feel awkward? Do you feel uncomfortable knowing that we're already established in the studio having a conversation, but you're like now coming in off the back of it?
Well, I'm very worried because even the people in Scotland know who I am now.
Right, okay.
You ain't read the papers, have you?
It's not the same.
No.
You're right. You go into the studio not reading your daily
papers. You want your belly rubbed.
No. My name's all over the internet, but nobody's there. I've got my injunction out to stop people knowing who I am. Don't even know who I am in Scotland now.
So, come on, what's the story in the papers then?
Mr. X and his shenanigans with his lovely wife and the menage a trois that he's got a super injunction out against himself in the papers.
Hey,
so that you can't know who he is.
What paper?
They even know he's in Scotland now.
Well, it's such a secret nobody knows about.
Well, come on, fill us in.
And where do you come in on all this?
Well, I'm worried it might be me.
Ah, right, I'm with you.
Because we don't know who he is, do we?
If it's Mr. X, no.
Which newspaper have you seen this in?
It was in the Mail on Sunday yesterday.
Right, you're aware of it then.
According to the radio today, that even the Scots now know who he is because he was on the front of the papers.
Oh, right, okay. So you can't say the mail. So what story are we looking at? How can I do a search on it?
Well, it's just put a question mark in. Who is the personality who we're not allowed to know who he is? You can't name it.
Apparently the papers went to court and they accidentally put this guy's name onto the papers and it should have been withheld.
Yes.
And so now, allegedly, everybody knows it. I've never heard of him. But
we're not allowed to know who he is in England and Wales, so it could be me.
Have we heard of him?
Spycatcher 2.
Oh, he's famous.
He's famous?
Very famous.
What's his initials?
He's got a famous wife as well.
What's his initials?
I can't say because I'll be in contempt of court in England.
Oh, in England, yeah. You'd be very careful. I know a similar sort of thing happened about a few years ago with Ryan Giggs. And we did a little discussion on it, and I think you were there, actually, Dame Shirley, and I actually blurted out the name of Ryan Higgs.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And one of the guys that worked behind the scenes here at Vectis Radio got a bit upset and said, well, you brought the station into disrepute. I said, hang on a minute, I was watching a game of football yesterday on the television, Man United at home, and 40,000 fans were chanting his name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a secret, everyone knows it.
Come on, tell us.
No, don't tell us, because you might be...
Will you will you text later on and tell me?
Is he from Essex, this chap? And his wife's from Potter's Bar?
could be Essex, could be Bolton, could be anywhere.
Right, okay. We're going to have to go because we're expecting a call from John Rushton. But
it could be Mr X.
Dear, could be. That's who we're talking to.
Oh, crikey.
There's a lot of trash in this country, so I hope it can shed some light on stuff for you.
I'm going.
I don't know who I am either.
Well, thank you for calling Mr. X, but not that Mr. Right. X.
It's right. XX. Yes.
Thanks for calling
Mr. X. Right size. See you later.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye. Mr. X.
Mr. X. That's what we're calling you now.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, we should get John back on the phone in a minute. We'll be able to put it to the test in a minute. How does he feel about being on the outside?
Yeah.
We were talking about Kevin Costner walking into an environment where everyone else kind of had already been established. How do you feel? And he did look very, very awkward.
Yeah.
And I must admit, he kind of then, after about 4 or 5 minutes, began warming to the people that were on the sofa with him and the audience as well.
But obviously he must have had a monitor in front of him to see what they were talking about there, wouldn't he? No.
I would imagine so.
Yeah,
but then it's not being the same as being in a room.
Yeah.
I mean, you just imagine what it's like out there. If you're out there and you're listening to what we're doing in here, does that mean that when you come in here, you're going to feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Probably even more so that they're all established in the group and they're all getting on and you're on the outside looking in.
I suppose there's two ways of dealing with it. One is you can do what Kevin Costner's done, which is be this shrinking violet and then gradually warm up, or you can do what Bob Kiley did when he was the Transport Commissioner for London, when he walked into a room full of people all babbling away and he asked twice who's in charge, and when nobody answered him, he said, well, it looks like I am. Can you all sit down and do as I tell you?
So,
you either need a command technology or
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant is that.
Yeah.
So we were talking about health, mind. We're going to call it mind health.
Yes.
Because I don't like the term that they've put on the tin. Now, I'm hoping that this is John.
Ian.
I'm very sorry, I cut you off. That's my fault.
Problems. Then I had problems getting back.
do you know what, though? We can kind of put this to the test now. I don't know whether you were hearing. We were talking about the Kevin Costner interview with Graham Norton.
Yes.
And my wife said, when he first came on, bearing in mind that he came on 25, 30 minutes after the others, he came on and felt and looked very, very awkward in a room full of people that were already established, and they were all like talking and having a bit of a laugh and a joke. Do you feel that is, you know, now, because we cut you off for about 10 minutes, or we didn't, you know, and now, do you feel like more comfortable now, or does it, you know, do you feel a little bit uncomfortable because we've cut you off and you've now coming back?
No, I feel all right.
Well, that's all right then, because Kevin Costner definitely looked awkward, and you must get that feeling when you walk out, when you walk into a room, and the people that are already in it are already established with their conversation, and you walk in. Do you feel awkward?
I don't personally know. Years and years ago, I used to, but not anymore, because it is what it is, and if I don't know, I don't know, and there's no good getting upset about something I don't know because it doesn't serve a purpose. And if other people want to make an issue out of it, then I don't need to know them either, because it's not a very good thing to do. I wouldn't do that with somebody else. I'd want to help them back into that position. So it's an expression of individuals that they do what they do, as opposed to me wandering in, not knowing. Or I mean, quite often I go into organisations where people know so much about a certain topic which I know very little about, very pedestrian knowledge. And I've just got to admit, I don't know. And the majority of people will help you in because they want to, because people genuinely like to help you. I mean, they feel good at helping you as well. And if they don't, then there's something wrong with that person or those people, and you don't particularly really want to know. So you just go your own way. But don't get flustered, because not your fault.
How do you get strong in the mind like you obviously have when you think, right, okay, it's a bit like, okay, you're bothering me, but I'm not going to let you because my mind is not going to let you in. How do you get to that point where you can block people out and just turn your back on them in your mind?
You just do. I spent most of my sort of previous life flying around the world, seeing different people, different cultures, and not talking any of the languages I was there, excuse me. But you just get on with it. I think you've got to understand yourself. You know, you are where you are. Sometimes you're in a situation which is not of your making. It's not that I'm vindictive or nasty or done things. I haven't done anything. I've just arrived there. I don't know, and there's nothing wrong with not knowing. I mean, we can't know everything about everybody and vice versa. And if you actually appeal to the good side of people, generally, then generally you'll get the good side of people coming to you. You'll always get one or two who don't. You'll always get a few egotists. You'll get a few arrogant people. Always a few people want to put you down to make them feel better. Well, let them. That's okay. Because they have no part in my life. So is that what makes them feel good? Fine, do it. You know, this is their life they're dealing with, not mine. I don't live their life. I will never live their life. And I may never, ever see them ever again. So why should I get upset about something which I cannot control? If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. You just get on with it and do the best you can, and that's it.
So I would imagine that there are a number of people that are like that and wish they could be like it. But I look at Shirley and I think, well, Shirley wouldn't be like that, because if, just say, for instance, somebody upset her, I think she'd take it to heart and it would fester. And that's where you need to be is a bit like more like John. I don't care. Mm. You can say what you like. Mm. You're not getting in here. Mm. You're not, you know, you're not going to upset me. Mm. So, I mean, how do we get to that point? You must have to be quite a strong-willed person.
Confident as well.
Confident, yeah.
I'm not sure, because, I mean, I'm only me, so I can't say anything else. But I do actually coach people, not specifically, but, you know, once you actually get down to people and you start talking to them, and I was talking to a lady a little while ago who was going through a most horrific divorce, and she was such a lovely, lovely person, and of course I didn't know the circumstances, and I didn't want to know the circumstances, because I can't change the past. I can only help change the future.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I said, you know, tell me whatever you want to tell me. So she told me sort of a potted history. And at the end of it all, I actually told her a few things about herself. And she looked at me, and she started crying as well. And she said, you know, nobody has ever, ever said those things to me in my life. I said, but is it true? She said, I actually have to agree, it is true what you said. And I said, you know, the whole point is, you have been brought up to look after this person, to do that person, to respect these people, to do, and you're everything to everybody and nothing to yourself. I said, but now the time has changed. You can be everything to yourself, because when you are 100% to yourself, you can look after everybody else proficiently. You don't have to scrape or be humble or anything. You can still be humble in life, but you don't have to humble yourself in front of other people. You can be the person you are. You were born exactly that person. You're entitled to be that person, and there's nobody on God's earth can change it. You are entitled to be that person, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
If other people don't like it, fine.
Yeah.
That's up to them. It's nothing to do with you. It's none of your business. And once you start putting that ideology into people's minds, they suddenly realize, yes, you're right, you know, I have a right to be. I accept other people, so why shouldn't they accept me? Well, if you don't put that ideology out, or that sort of karma out, it's never going to come back. So it's just a changing a slight mindset, and that's all you need to do. Remember, it takes a small pin to burst a big balloon. It's nothing. It's not rocket science. It's just changing the way you think.
Do you know what? I'm going to record that, what you've just done, what you've just said in the last 60 seconds, and I'm going to put that on Dame Shirley's tape, because I think that would work. Hey, look, we have run out of time. Just quickly before you go, have you got a website that we can check more details out from, know a bit more about John Rushton?
Yes, I have two. There's johnrushton.com and emotionsexpert.com.
Okay, brilliant. It's been fantastic to talk to you, John. Sorry about the blip in there at half time. Hey, thank you for being there.
Lovely.
Yes,
my pleasure.
Thank you, John.
Anytime. And you too, Dame Shirley.
Thanks, John. See you soon.
Thank you. Okay.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So, what do you think then, Chris? Do you feel much better after that? I do.
Well,
yes.
I think he's done well.
Yes.
Okay.
He's done.
Very
nice bit of Bert Canford to play.
We've got absolutely. We've got to go now. But thank Chris. See you again soon.
Pleasure.
And thank you, Dame Shirley.